Hello and welcome to the podcast. My name's Paul Lowry. I'm a partner at Boies Turner and I'm head of the Wills, Trusts and Probate team. In this episode, I want to talk about people who are sole directors and shareholders of a private limited company and what happens to the shares in that company when they die. So with me to talk about this is Sophie Payne, who's a senior associate in Boies Turner corporate team. Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Paul.
So if I could start by asking you, Sophie, if I've got a client who's a sole director and shareholder of a private limited company, what's going to happen to their shares when they die?
So, Paul, the transmission of an individual shareholding on death is governed by a company's articles of association, which is the primary governing document of a company. Some companies will have an express provision in their articles as to what will happen to the shares upon death, but many won't. So you therefore have to look at the default rules which will apply in the absence of anything specific in a company's articles. So if you have a company incorporated after the 1st of October 2009, it will most likely have adopted the Model Articles 2008 as their default rules, whereas companies incorporated before that date will most likely have adopted what's called Table A 1985 or even Table A 1948 as their default rules. In the event of death, your estate will be administered either by executors if you have a will or administrators if you've died without a will, collectively called your personal representatives. Table A 1985 and the Model Articles 2008 both allow the personal representatives of a shareholder who has died to either elect to be registered as the holder of the shares or to direct the transfer of shares to another, for example, the beneficiaries of the deceased's will. The personal representatives have to provide evidence that they are beneficially entitled to the shares, and this is usually in the form of a grant of probate. However, the stumbling block here is that the company must then have directors to approve registration of the transfer of shares to the personal representatives or to the beneficiaries, depending on the election made by the PRs. Where there was a sole director shareholder who has subsequently died, there obviously won't be any directors to approve registration of shares upon their death.
So can't you just appoint a new director to deal with that?
It depends on the company's articles. Typically, a new director will be appointed by a majority decision of the board or by an ordinary resolution of its shareholders. An ordinary resolution being one that needs approval of the holders of more than 50% of the voting shares. Unfortunately, whilst the PRs are beneficially entitled to the deceased shares, they're not entitled to exercise the right to vote until such time as they've been registered as the legal holder of such shares. And they can't be registered as the legal holder of such shares without a director. So there's a clear catch-22 where there's a sole director shareholder who has died. This has been dealt with in the Model Articles 2008, as they contain a provision that if, as a result of death, a company has no shareholders and no directors, the PRs of the last shareholder to have died can appoint someone to be a director. So if your company has adopted the Model Articles 2008 as its default rules, then the PRs can appoint a new director at this stage.
Okay, so how do you go about dealing with that?
So personal representatives must serve notice on the company that they'd like to appoint a named person in accordance with the rights set out in the Model Articles 2008. Once the new director has consented to act, what's called Form APO1 needs to be filed at company's house. Form TMO1 should also be filed to effect the termination of the deceased directorship.
So what happens if you've got a company that doesn't have an express provision in its articles, or it hasn't adopted the Model Articles 2008 as its default rules?
Well, this can complicate the position quite a lot. As mentioned previously, older companies will typically have adopted Table A 1985 or even Table A 1948 as their default rules, neither of which contain a provision like the one contained in the Model Articles. We don't come across many companies with Table A 1948, so we'll concentrate on the process that has to be navigated under Table A 1985 for the purposes of this episode. As mentioned earlier, a new director cannot be appointed by the PRs until they have been registered as the legal holder of the shares, and the PRs cannot be registered as the legal holder of the shares unless there's a director to approve registration of the transfer of shares to them. Unfortunately, we've had a number of clients in recent years who have passed away rather suddenly and ended up in this situation. The only way to resolve this was to make an application to court to rectify the company's register of members. Essentially, the court will order that the PRs be registered as the legal holder of the shares, and they can then pass an ordinary resolution as shareholders to appoint a new director.
Okay, so all of this sounds incredibly complicated and reminds me why I'm not a corporate lawyer. What does that process involve?
So this work actually needs to be undertaken by litigation specialists in our dispute resolution team with support from the corporate group to prepare the necessary corporate documents that will need to accompany the court application. To summarise the process, proceedings will have to be issued in the company's division of the High Court. It's largely procedural and no oral evidence needs to be given. However, a witness statement must be provided in support of the application, which would need to contain details of the deceased's death, the circumstances surrounding the legal setup of the company, and explaining why the order is required. Documentary evidence confirming the willingness of a new director to be appointed as such will also have to be produced, as does the proposed shareholder resolution approving appointment of the new director. Once proceedings have been issued, the matter will then be listed for a hearing. And at that hearing, the court will hopefully make an order that the PRs be written up in the company's register of members as the legal holder of the shares. In addition, the order should authorise the appointment of a new director by way of written resolution of the PRs in their capacity as shareholders of the company.
So how long will all this process take?
So as a general guideline, it's likely to be at least 3 months before a matter is heard after proceedings are issued. It will then obviously also be necessary to wait for receipt of the sealed order, although typically these are received within a few days of the hearing itself.
So all of this process, I imagine, is quite expensive, and it sounds like it could create all kinds of problems as a result of the likely timescale it's going to take to appoint a new director, particularly if you've got an ongoing business with employees who need to be paid.
Yes, the litigation can be expensive. And if there are no monies immediately available within the estate, then the PRs would need to fund the action personally, although this would be repayable as an estate expense upon administration of the estate. As you've mentioned, Paul, the delay can also cause problems in terms of the day-to-day running of the company, which will most likely come to a halt without directors to make decisions and act on behalf of the company.
Okay, so it's a nightmare situation. What can we do to protect against this?
Well, there are a couple of ways to avoid this situation. Firstly, a second director could be appointed now so that they are then able to deal with the company in the event of the death of the other director. The alternative is that new articles of association could be adopted, either containing an express provision dealing with the death of a sole director shareholder, or adopting the model articles 2008 as their default rules, which will enable them to rely on the provision that I mentioned earlier.
Okay, so what's the process for doing this?
So where we've been instructed in connection with this process, we would start by reviewing the company's existing articles, and we may make some other suggestions in terms of additional provisions that you may wish to include. But if there's a sole director shareholder, they're likely to need only very simple articles, and we would therefore suggest either amending the existing articles to refer to the adoption of the model articles, or adopt our standard short form articles, which are those that we would typically incorporate new companies with. Once the client's happy with the form of articles, it will then simply be necessary to hold a board meeting and to pass a special resolution of the shareholders. A special resolution's one that needs the approval of the holders of not less than 75% of the voting shares. We would then need to file a copy of that shareholder resolution together with a copy of the new articles at Companies House.
And is this going to cost less than the procedure you described earlier in making the application to court?
In the long run, yes. It's likely that the cost of amending a company's articles or even putting completely new articles in place will be substantially less than doing nothing and ending up having to apply to court for an order to rectify the register of members. As well as legal costs, the delay and disruption to an existing business without directors to continue day-to-day operations could be, quite frankly, catastrophic and could result in a valuable business effectively becoming worthless.
Okay, so the message today in summary is if you're a sole director and shareholder of a limited company, it's going to be a good idea to look at your company articles of association. That might be at the same time that you're reviewing your will and considering estate planning in general. And if your company was registered before the 1st of October 2009, check to see if there are specific provisions in the articles of association dealing with transmission of shares upon your death. If there aren't, and your company's covered by the old table A1985 articles of association, then you should be speaking to our corporate team, have those articles reviewed, and avoid the upset, expense, and delay that the lack of a specific provision in the articles of association can cause if you were to die whilst you're a sole director and shareholder of a private limited company. If you want any more information about what we've been talking about today, please look at the show notes for all of the relevant contact details. And don't forget to subscribe or follow the podcast to get all of the latest episodes when they're available. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.